That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome to the Woodbird Theater. We now present Off Book.
Off Book, the improvised musical podcast with Zach and Jess.
Y'all hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Great. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Can I just play a little something with you, Brett, just to make sure that we're, I can hear?
Yeah.
Episode now is not fun. We got Brent Morris with the feeling on the keys. Wait, no, someone else is on the keys.
Please. Oh, we love him. We never hate him. That's harsh.
On the keys, we got
Zachary Marsh.
And it's Brett on the frets, of course. And then right outside, here's a magic horse. It's galloping around with a rainbow tail. Watch it leap, watch it sail.
It gave us wishes, 1, 2, 3. But I just wish it for more, if you please. And the horse said, I can't give you more wishes, don't you know?
You get 3 or you get kicked in the snow. So this is Off Book, the improvised musical podcast.
Kicked in the snow?
Kicked into the snow.
Okay.
This is in this song, it's winter time in a snow pool. And it's snowing outside.
Oh boy, oh boy. Here's some chaos energy for you.
We love it. Hey, hi Brett. Hi Zach.
Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
We're so happy to have you here. Scott, we love you. Scott couldn't be here today. Dana, we love you. Dana couldn't be here today. Today it's me and Jess and Zach and Brett.
Wow. Brett, how do you feel about having 2 Zachs in the room?
Finally, the scales have been evened.
I can't remember the last time I had 2 Zachs in the same room.
I have 2 Zachs in my life at all times.
You actually have 3.
Yeah. I'm always rotating, though. In any given room, I'm by 2 Zachs.
You can just call me Zach.
Yeah. And you can call me Zach.
Yeah.
To keep it simple.
Yeah, I'll call you Zach.
And call me Zach.
Thanks.
When I was in elementary school, I was always Brett M. Because
there were more than one Brett?
Yeah, which is a little bit unusual.
Yeah.
There was a Brett D.
I mean, and I always had... There were 3 Jessicas in my first grade class, but like we're the most common name for 1987, so it's really not.
Is that right?
You got Marsh's drop something.
No, you were on the foot and...
Oh, yeah, I could turn everything off. Are you on there or are you still
on?
Okay, you want me to turn you off, though?
We'll see how it goes.
Part of the fan band app is Zach and is just a chaos agent. He'll just turn you off.
Yes. I mean, normally I do that to Jessica via improv. It would sort of be leveling up to do that to you and Zach via technical difficulties.
Hey, thanks everyone who came out to see us in San Francisco. That was fun.
What an absolute joy. That was the first, it was not our first live show since the pandemic, but it was one that was scheduled for over a year ago.
Yeah.
And it felt great to be out there and great to see it. Thank you to the Great Star Theater. So much fun.
Thanks for Sketchfest.
Thank you for Scotch Fest.
So the faces with our faces. Well, I don't know. We're talking house stuff as we always are. and we're just four house talkers.
We're just four house talkers.
Okay. If you could only live in one house. Type of house.
Human house.
Great.
I pick human house.
Me too. Wait, I pick small castle.
Oh, I was going to pick castle.
You still can.
Okay. Big castle.
Oh, shit.
Here's the question, though. Like, when does a house become...
home?
That's a better question. I was going to say too big, but yours is actually better. Like, when does a house become a home? Okay, so here are things in a house, right?
Walls.
Stove.
Roof.
Ceiling.
Floors.
What are things, though, in a home? Love?
Love. Memories. Laughter. Open up the front door, step inside. The perfect place for me to run and hide. Sure, I got walls, a ceiling and a floor. But oh, I want more.
I've got support. What about dreams? I've got a bathroom suite. But what about the sweet feeling that envelops me? That my life is finally complete.
Oh, sure, I've got a house, of course. But where, oh, where is my magic horse?
Because there is one thing. Makes a house a home. You need it galloping outside to give you a wish. The threat of being kicked into the snow.
You need the sounds of Winnie's, the sounds of Nay. You need those little scraps of apple, oats, and hay.
You need to give it sugar cubes and to brush its mane to feel that calm inside your brain.
You can have an island, you can have a fridge, you can have a coat closet too. But without a magic horse, none of it will do.
You need a magic horse to make a house a home. You need a magic horse. And you won't see it on Zillow. You won't see it on Redfin. You've got to search yourself, you know. Is there a magic horse? Is there a magic horse to make a house a home? This episode is, of course, brought to you by
Magic Horse.
Magic Horse. It makes a house a home. Some of you are asking, wait, is this a product? I mean, in a way.
Sure.
Aren't we all? But
yeah.
We're talking specifically about a magic horse.
I mean.
Some of you are saying, is it a unicorn?
No.
It's a magic horse.
So get yourself a magic horse, whatever it is to you.
Now, here's a question. What makes a horse a magic horse?
That's I think wish granting. Yeah.
The threat of being kicked into the snow. Magical creatures, historically, mythologically speaking, I feel like they used to be way more likely to have that other half, right?
Sure.
What's the bad half?
Don't answer this riddle, the Sphinx will kill you.
It'll eat you, right? Mm-hmm. Nowadays, it's like, okay, the fairy shows up, the tooth fairy, as we all know.
Yeah.
Classic magic creature.
The fairy, you asked me.
The only one.
Yeah.
Sugar Plum Fairy Brett doesn't care for you at all. That fairy shows up. You give it teeth. It gives you money under your pillow.
But if you keep your teeth away from the
tooth
fairy...
We don't talk about what happens if you don't give teeth to the tooth fairy.
Bring teeth for the tooth fairy, one for the sun. T for the tiller man. Who's the tiller man?
It's the person that runs the tiller, right?
What's a tiller?
Part of a boat, isn't it? I'm working truly this backwards as I'm now I want to see if I'm right. A tiller.
Do you know this song, Zach?
Nope.
Oh, no Cat Stevens in your repertoire?
Sorry.
Zero cat over there? No cat for the Zach? Oh. Shocking. Okay.
I know, that is shocking.
Get this. Tillerman, one in charge of a tiller.
Great.
Then it says steersman, which makes me think that I'm right.
I sang that at my friend's wedding. Sorry, humble brag. I sing at weddings.
You sang at mine. Who tillers the tiller?
Right.
Who tillers the tiller man?
You sang at mine.
I sure did.
We're available to sing at
weddings.
And
then it says helmsman. So steersman is the same as a tiller man, and a helmsman is the same as a steersman. And we all know what a helmsman is.
He stands at the helm.
He's steering the boat. He make the boat turn or not. And sometimes not is just important as turn. On the prow on the deck of a ship, and the crew can't wait to see if it's time to turn the wheel or to just go straight.
You have the helmsman at the helm, and the steersman at the steer, and the tiller man sits at the tiller. But well, I'm looking for one T-filler.
Who brings the tea? Stocks the boat with tea. Who brings the tea on the boat?
And oh, can it be me? I'm interviewing for a job on a boat, and I don't have a lot of skills. I don't like to gloat. I can't steer and I can't captain, but ooh, how I make tea.
I see you have a swabby who cleans up the deck, and I see that you also, of course, have a chef. The question, I guess, that is begging for me is, who stocks the boat with tea? Who brings tea on the boat? Who brings the boat with tea?
I have white too. I can make it hot or cold for you. I can switch it in with a little lemonade. Ooh, can I be the ship's teammate?
And to prevent your assault that is coming via verbal, yes, I know there's tea and then there's herbal. And technically, herbal is not a tea, cause it isn't tea unless it's made with tea leaves. So who brings the tea on the boat? Stocks the boat with tea. Who brings tea on the boat? And can it be me? And can it be me?
Tea for tea.
So tea for the tillerman is someone needing to bring tea to the person steering the boat.
Bring tea for the tillerman, okay. Steak for the sun.
Pause. let's walk through this. Tea for the tillerman. Okay, so I just want to walk through this. We're bringing a delicious hot beverage to the person steering the boat.
Or iced. We could be bringing them an iced tea on a hot day.
True.
Where are we getting ice on a ship?
Well, maybe I just let it cool in the bowels. It's a cold brew tea.
Room temperature tea.
Room temp tea.
Okay, yeah. What's the next one?
Steak for the sun.
What's the spelling of sun?
S-O-N.
Okay. The sun, we have to assume the only other person that's been mentioned is the tillerman. So this has got to be the tillerman's son, right?
And then wine for the woman who made the rain come.
The sun could be Jesus.
The son could be Jesus.
Yeah.
In which case, the tillerman, we have to assume, is the father.
That's right. Or the Holy Ghost.
Well,
Holy Ghost.
Okay, could be. Well, then which would make the woman the Holy Ghost.
The woman is probably Mary.
She doesn't get to be part of the Trinity.
Well, sure. She's not, but like...
She's probably married.
She's probably married.
Okay, we're agreeing that this is a deeply religious song.
Yeah. Okay. Seagulls sing your hearts away, because while the...
Angels, clearly angels.
Because while the sinner sin, this is very, very religious. See?
Okay.
The children play. Okay, here
that's,
we go.
That's us.
Straight up call out. Oh, Lord, how they play and play for that happy day, for that happy day.
I was joking at first because I don't know the word to the song, but... I do think we know exactly what it's about.
Bring tea for the tiller man, steak for the sun. This is a really hard song for me because it's in two ranges.
It sounds great.
Wine for the... And then you like want to go back down. Bring tea for the tiller man, wine for the... Steak for the sun.
I don't know the song, but I mean,
wine
we could probably...
Wine for the woman who made the rain come.
You know my version.
Seagulls sing their hearts away, because while the sinners sin, the children play. Oh, Lord, how they play. Play for that happy day, for that happy day. And that's the whole song.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just that repeated?
It's no, it doesn't repeat. It's more like it's like an interlude song.
Oh.
Are y'all cat? Am I the only Cat Stevens?
Cat Head?
I love Cat Stevens, but I don't know the deep cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
I don't know that I feel when you sang that, I was like, I'm sure I've heard this before, but it is not ringing a bell for me.
It's.
But speaking of like interlude songs that are real quick and never repeat are good and good for us too. Cause we don't have to then remember what we said the first time.
Yeah.
We can just be like, oh, the seagulls. Oh, it's a very different. Yeah, that's good. No, that's fine.
Yes. Thinking? We accept your choices.
What were you thinking?
Yeah. Give me seagull music.
Like from before?
Like whatever you want, bud.
Like that.
Yeah, Brett's got a seagull chord.
Yeah.
I got the seagull for you.
On a gas station roof, by a 7-Eleven, someone's dropped a bag of Fritos on the ground, and the children shout. An early time to go to the 7-Eleven. Oh, while the woman drinks the wine, she's drunk and she's outside. But it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and there's a boat on the docks, and the tiller man swears, oh, I dropped my Frito. That's the whole song.
That's the whole song. That's the whole
that's
song.
That's the whole song.
And that's the whole song.
It's also unfortunate that we didn't get to sing anymore because it's also the best off-book song I've ever done.
That's it.
It was gorgeous.
Thank
was
beautiful. You.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
What's up with you, Brett?
Yeah, Brett.
Not much. I was watching MTV Classic last night.
Whoa.
And it was
MTV
90s.
Classic.
It was because it was just on cable, which I don't
classic
normally
media
have.
Television, famously. Yeah.
And I was like, is every single song good from them? Because it was so enjoyable.
Mm. From who? Sorry?
What decade?
From the 90s.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like every single video was so enjoyable.
Some really good people were raised in the 90s. Some really like talented, yeah. talented people.
I would say cute, little cuties.
Some little cuties really got influenced by the work going on in the 90s. I just said this to you recently. I feel like 90s pop culture, just because like I didn't watch a lot of TV then, I feel like there's a lot of stuff in the 90s that I'm expected to know that I don't.
Yes.
But then there's some of it that like there's some like deep cut stuff that I do. Like I'm like keenly aware, and maybe this is just because of my friendships with like the podcast The Ride Boys and Mike Carlson, who's always sending me pictures of toys that I'm supposed to remember and like kind of do. Do you remember Street Sharks?
Yeah.
Do you remember all those permutations on Ninja Turtles that were like, oh the yeah. Ninja Turtles are great. Yeah. What if cowboys
mutant animals?
Yeah, the Cowboys of Mesa,
yeah.
Street Sharks. But there's like a bunch of them.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't think anybody has, like, there's not, like, a monolith. And also, you're right. We were talking about, like, at what point do small age differences make a difference in what your reference point is? Mm. So you and me are the median in this room.
Yes.
Like, Brett's a little bit older than us. Zach's a little bit younger than us. But I don't, but also Brett knew, like, a ton more music.
And Zach didn't know shit.
And Zach. So. Zach.
I'm talking about myself.
Britney. I know Britney Spears and NSYNC.
I think it also has to do with whether you have older siblings.
Or not. That's true.
I do have older siblings, so I should know.
Right. There you go.
So I feel like so many of my reference points are actually my older siblings' era.
And I had a shocking one where last weekend at Sketchfest, I hung out with Dante Basco.
Rufio.
Is like, that's like an, that is iconic to me, right?
Yeah.
That's like hugely, hugely important. Hook was a massive movie in my house. We replayed it constantly. You know, we used to play as my next door neighbor, Jared Rumler, and I used to play a game called Lost Boys Cabin.
Shout out Jared Rumler.
Shout out Jared. We used to play this game that we called Lost Boys Cabin, where we would play inside a hedge. We had a big hedge that we could get into and we could climb around it. And he would play Peter Pan and I would play Rufio. And Rufio's huge for me. And I was like, so stoked. I mean, he was lovely. It was so fun to meet him. But I was telling this story to my mom's, oh my gosh. Then I was just in Lake Tahoe. This is obnoxious. Okay. Then I was in Lake Tahoe skiing with my sister and having a trip with my mom and my mom, one of her best friends from childhood. Like, they've known each other since fifth grade.
And that's friends.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's real.
So she and her husband drove over from San Francisco, met us in Tahoe, and we were talking to them about Hook. God, this is such a long walk. Okay, I didn't realize what this was.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Zach, can you play theme music just real quick for me? Please welcome to another long walk with Jessica. She always worries about whether or not the payoff will be worth it. It usually is. Back to you, Jessica.
I don't think it will be. Okay, so.
She really loves when I put more pressure on her by turning it into a segment. It's just what friends do to support good stories from their friend, Jessica.
Thank you. So this couple, who've actually seen us a bunch in San Francisco.
Oh, I think I know who we're talking about.
So their kids, they're old. They have two boys. Their oldest is my age.
How old? Oh, you actually answered that. Okay. Yeah. We know how old.
So they had completely missed Hook because when it came out, we were only like four. Mm-hmm. So the only reason I got to see it in the movie theaters because I had older siblings. And we were like, to your point, when we were talking about this, I was like, Zach, a few years doesn't make a difference, but it really can for certain things where
if the person is younger than you and the only reason that you know it is because of your older siblings, then it's actually way more than a few years.
Right, exactly. Older siblings end up being a massive part of like what you're exposed to when, and as a youngest of three, I just got so much more of like the stuff that was older because that's what they get to pick what you watch. They boss you around.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow.
And that's what they pick.
Hell yeah.
It's a Friday evening. Everyone's around the couch. Who will select what we watch? Don't have a doubt. No matter how many siblings, no matter who they are, you don't have a choice if you're the youngest by far. You can never touch the remote or clicker as we called. No, that's not for you, child. You never get to choose when it's the youngest one. You never get to choose when you're the youngest one.
You're in a Blockbuster because that is still around, and you look at the selections on shelves. If you're the youngest sibling, then no matter what, you're keeping your opinions to yourselves. Because maybe you would like to watch Air Bud, or maybe Air Bud 2. But you are the youngest, so honestly, child, it isn't up to you. Choose Pirates of the Caribbean.
dead mentions.
Curse of Davy Jones or something else, there have been like five.
But sometimes when you have a chance to leave behind your own house and seek out that chance where you could be the one sleeping over at a house where you are the oldest one, because without a doubt you'd have a friend.
You have a friend
who's the oldest kid.
A younger friend who's the oldest kid.
Or an only child. And you finally get to choose.
You get to choose.
And you always choose Ferngully.
Oh, you get to choose. And you always choose Ferngully.
Have we talked about Robin Williams and Ferngully on this podcast before?
Don't know.
Okay, I've talked about it with some friends. I don't remember if they were these friends or other friends. So let me just say this real quick, because I think we're about to take a break. But before we do, Robin Williams books the role in Ferngully.
Of the little bat.
Of the little bat. Who does? My name is Batty. My something is erratic. I watched this movie so many times. Ferngully was huge for me. And not just because the main character was named Zach. Don't worry.
And the main character girl was Krista. And I used to always spend the night at my friend Krista's house. And I would always choose... Actually, she chose Ferngully at my house, and yeah. I always chose Sandlot at her house because she didn't have Ferngully, and we didn't have Sandlot.
And honestly, that's the way the world turns.
Yeah.
So this might be a micro-age thing because I have no idea what Ferngully
well,
is.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. So Ferngully is coming out at the same time as like big Disney movies. And in fact, Robin Williams gets the role of the genie right after Ferngully, while both movies are kind of in production, I believe, at the same time. Mm. Disney asked him to drop out of Ferngully. They do not want him voicing his character in this other movie when they're like, you're about to do a role that is so, so big.
Yeah.
He refuses to drop out of this much smaller movie just because of like artistic integrity and like wanting to do
That's
it.
That's right, Robin.
Wow.
That's right, Robin. And then Disney proceeds to just like, marketing wise, everything Ferngully. Like
because of that?
Not because of that specifically, but just because they're like, we want to dominate the animated feature space.
Oh yeah.
And they like, you know, they become essentially the only player in releasing big name animated movies for a long time.
Gosh.
Not the only. There are some, I guess, some other companies making movies.
Okay.
But Ferngully is so
it was big for me too.
Tim Curry.
Oh, I know.
Is Hexus.
I also always feel, can't you feel its pain? Like,
yeah, she touches a tree.
Oh, I know that.
He carves their initials in it and she goes, no, and puts his hand on the tree and is like, can't you feel its pain? It's basically like a tree cutter guy gets shrunk and goes and falls in love with a fairy.
Yeah, if only there were a better name for a person. Nope. Yeah, the tree cutter.
A lumberjack.
He is a lumberjack. But I guess you're right, though. He's not a lumberjack. He works for like a big tree demolition company. He's like, his job is to spray paint X's on trees, and then a big machine comes in. Like, it's truly Save the Rainforest movie. Yeah.
Yes. The villain is pollution.
The villain is pollution, and also Tim Curry.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this.
With a song about Ferngully. Called Shot.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
For the gully,
la, 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 la.
Surrounded by ferns, search for the gully, gully. La, 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 la.
See what can you learn?
What can you learn?
Jump from a lily pad, feel your heart soar. Can you feel its pain?
For the animals, feeling the bats, free in the forest, not part of a scientific test. Look for the gully,
la 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 la,
surrounded by ferns. Search for the gully,
la 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 la.
What can you? With friendship between you and me.
And can X mark the spot, not for cutting them down, but can X mark the spot of the home you have found?
And will the fairies find magic to bring the trees back? Will the fairies find love with a person named Zach?
Look for the gun. Surrounded by ferns,
search for the gully.
La 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 la.
What can you learn?
What can you? What can you learn in a gully of fern? What can you learn in a gully of fern? That was a pretty good one. Should we take it back to the middle? I feel like albums at that time.
Yeah, that was good, yeah.
Welcome back. That was a song about Fern Gully. Now imagine that that was like a record that was made in like 1994 or 5, and it ends with like, and it's like a collab between multiple artists. It's like Phil Collins featuring Madonna.
Yeah.
And when it ends, they go, huh, that was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
How'd you feel? And you I felt great, Phil.
And you get the feeling like they're all friends.
They're all friends. We're all friends here.
There's a video where they go to the rainforest and it sort of doesn't take proper care to make sure that it's being respectful of the people that it's filming. It's the 90s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like, save the rainforest, and they like bring cameras in and move everyone aside.
Yeah.
Listen, the 90s, well-intentioned but short-sighted.
Listen, do they know it's Christmas time?
That song really kills me. Because
is that the 90s?
I sort that might of be assume, the late 80s.
Yeah, I was going to say, I might be a little bit wrong. I mean, look, musically,
it's a great song. Yeah.
Feed the world. Let them know it's Christmas time. Even though they might not celebrate, they should know that it is Christmas Day. And why don't they get snow? Everyone should have snow.
Snow is good, and we know it's good because we have snow. And because we have it, it must be good.
Feed the world.
when the only water flowing is the bitter sting of tears,
I mean,
is just a devastating lyric. Devastating.
Mean,
I don't know, Bono.
I don't know about that. We were just talking about Welcome to Wrexham, a series which came out a while ago.
Uh-huh.
But as the opening music for part of Welcome to Wrexham, they use... Crap. The times they are a changing. It's not sung. It's not Bob Dylan's version of it. It's sung by someone else. But it's like, you'll sink like a stone. And the times they are
changing.
It was the first time that I really like slowed down and listened to those lyrics, and I came to an absolutely tired conclusion that everyone else has already been at for a very long time, which is that Bob Dylan writes good lyrics.
Yeah.
But it was like, it was the first time I'd heard that song in a way that I was like, oh, this is being performed in such a way where it is actually more effective to me personally than hearing Bob Dylan sing it.
Well, yeah, I think
Bob Dylan, I mean, has never been touted as like the world's greatest singer.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, it's such like,
he's a poet.
He's a poet.
Do you know there was a period, you know, Bob Dylan has many, eras and phases. There's like a forgotten era in, I think, late '60s, very early '70s, where I believe he quit
when electric
drinking, not the when electric.
Kidding, I'm sorry.
When he either quit smoking or quit drinking, and his voice really cleared up, and he had this very clear, soothing voice like a quick second, and then he went.
Quick aside, a lot of listeners probably know this already. Weird Al was trying to write an entire song in which every lyric was, what are those things, an anagram? What's it called?
Palindrome.
Palindrome.
Mm.
And,
oh, right.
And he was like, madam, I'm Adam. Oh no, I've written a Bob Dylan song. And so like the song became a Bob Dylan style parody.
Oh, that's funny.
It does exist. I forget what it's called.
Race car. That's one.
Radar.
Panama. No way.
A man, a plan.
Thank you.
Race car?
Yeah, yeah. Race car is race car backwards.
And ABBA did SOS.
C-E-C-A-R.
Sure. Race car, radar, go hang a salami, I'm a lasagna hog. That's one.
Go hang salami, I'm a lasagna hog.
Go hang a salami,
I
believe so.
I'm a lasagna hog.
But Weird Al already put that one in a song.
Well, I can too. I never heard it.
You can too because you never heard it. And that makes it allowed.
Okay, well...
Can we in media res real quick?
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either, but Laser said it in the episode that's coming out...
next week.
But I guess the thing that I'm trying to say right now is we broke this episode into two halves and recorded the next episode in between them.
Yeah, so get ready for a reference. References in the Laser narrative show.
When you hear the next episode, you've actually listened to the intro to that episode already.
And you actually already have the tools you needed all along.
And you won't be able to fully understand how funny we think Magic Horse is until you hear it pop up in next week's episode.
I don't know why this made me think of it. This is very unrelated, but here we go. Favorite sports movie from that era.
Okay.
Maybe because I already talked about Sandler.
What is the, is Mighty Ducks from that era?
Hell yeah.
Then Mighty Ducks for me. My Years was a huge movie for me. And I'm sort of surprised it never got...
I think D2 is bigger for me than Mighty Ducks. Knuckle Puck, being in California.
Is Knuckle Puck not in the first one?
Correct.
Maybe the movie I'm thinking of is D2 then.
D2 is huge.
Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings is great.
Cool Runnings is great.
Field of Dreams, that's a little bit before, but that's a great movie.
Yeah.
I remember it being great.
Remember the Titans?
That's a little bit later. Okay, that was a perfect example of the age where Brett's like Field of Dreams, and we're like, ee!
Which is the one where they find like a kid who's so good at slap shots, like in an alleyway?
D2.
D2 is
and the kid is Kenan Thompson, and the shot is a knuckle
puck. Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, my
God.
Wow.
I haven't seen this
no,
movie.
No, wait. No. Kenan Thompson is the kid. No, it is. It's Kenan Thompson.
I believe you. I haven't seen this movie in 30 years.
It's also the one that famously has Iceland, so it's just covered in ice. No, Iceland is green and Greenland is covered in ice.
And Iceland is very nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
It has that.
That's the movie I've seen more than the other one.
Yes.
So I don't know how I feel about Mighty Ducks.
Well,
I like D2.
You still might really like it.
Maybe.
D2 is great. D2 is when they like
they have the original squad, and then because they get to be like the national junior Olympic team, they get to, they have to acquire that, like, it's like putting together a heist movie. They acquire a few other players and they all have atypical skills. Like they get an ice skater, they get like there's a boy from Texas who can't stop.
Putting together the perfect squad.
Okay, sit on down. If you wanna win, you gotta get the perfect squad. Here's where we begin. Get five kids from Minnesota who grew up true and blue. Then fill it out with wild cards. One and two and two.
They need a set of particular skills
to win youth hockey.
To give us thrills, you'll need a set of particular skills to win us hockey. To give them thrills,
a goalie who can catch a glove ball like wow, and a boy who's from Texas and can't stop somehow.
A penguin who's real comfortable being on the ice. And a seal to chase the penguin so his speed will double twice.
And maybe an ice skater, and maybe also a brash boy. Maybe also a player who's up being a wind-up toy.
And maybe a full-grown man who's played in the NHL. And he's back for one more game, even though his ex-wife is giving him hell. They'll need a set of particular skills to win in hockey. To give a thrills, a set of particular skills to win you hockey. To give you thrills.
And as they play, they need to believe and give no fucks.
Give no
fucks. And there should be Kenan Thompson straight from all.
For the mascot is a duck, of course. And we'll know they're on the right track when they huddle together and put in their hands and say, quack, 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 quack. With a set of particular skills to win.
That's the big rousing speech they give when they're going into the second half of the final game.
They fly together.
They fly together. And then the little Texas boy goes, "Oh, and the cows and the pasture and the goose and the round night." And they're all like, "Whoop." And then he goes, "Oh, come on, guys." And they all go, "Ducks fly together.
You know what else is a good hockey thing? Shorzy. Spinoff to Letterkenny.
Still haven't watched, but congrats on it getting season two.
We're really happy for Shorzy. We love it. Zach.
Yeah.
We don't have you on the mic a whole lot, which is to say that this is the first time I think we've had you on the mic, yeah?
It's true.
You're an incredible pianist.
Oh, stop.
No, I won't. You're like really, really, really great.
Really good.
You went on tour. One of the first times we really played with you, it was when we were on tour up in...
Portland and Seattle.
Yeah.
My home.
Your home.
That's right.
hometown.
He's from Oregon. He's from Oregon.
And I don't want to put you in a box because you're not just this, but you, of the many ways you are incredible, one of them is like you're an incredible jazz player.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm so awed by your skill every time I get to play with you. I should say these things to Brett and Scott more. Brett, I'm also awed by your incredible skill. I don't mean to alienate.
You don't have to.
I want to. Actually, I was about to say, Brett, you're an incredible guitarist.
Okay, actually, though, I was about to say, Brett, you're strong and handsome.
But have we told the story on mic before about when we were touring with Zach and we were in Seattle and we found a beautiful piano in like a well-appointed room and we were just like, the three of us were just riffing. We'd been singing. You came with us to Canada too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we had done Vancouver and Portland already, and the Seattle show was the end and my voice was like toast, but we were just up in this lobby in this beautiful hotel playing this piano and we were singing, riffing around for, I would say, 35 minutes
in front of a beautiful fireplace.
Yes. With a peacock
at like midnight.
And it was midnight. And after about 40 minutes, someone from the hotel came out and was like, "You do have to be quiet." And we were like, right. We just sat down at this piano and we're singing like the top-ish of our lungs.
In a hotel at 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I will say, the things that we were singing at the top of our lungs were hotel lounge appropriate.
Yes. The woman was complimentary. She was like, it's really
it's so beautiful,
nice,
but it is,
but it is quite late. And you just are staying here. You don't like get to just...
What kind of lyrics are hotel lounge appropriate?
Yeah, it was a lot of like... Sit on down under the elm tree.
Pour yourself a drink.
Light a candle. Hold the hand of your love.
Put away your worries. Lock up all your cares.
Take a stroll out in the midnight air. It was like that, without the self like awareness of knowing how loud we were getting.
Well, because of the more we were getting into it, I don't know. It started off like kind
of. It was
chilling. We also, at first, I feel like we were just listening to you play, and then we were like.
I think we actually did at some point show a live Instagram stream, or we recorded it.
We recorded it. You can dig into my Instagram.
I was playing, and then you were like, "Well,
we got it.
I gotta sing."
Yeah, we sang a song that was like, "Don't make me sing."
Oh, that's right.
Make me sing,
because if I sing, I'll sing about you.
We should really release that.
I mean, there is such a like standard. songwriting formula.
Yeah.
Of, and this is, I guess it's very Cole Porter-ish, but it's very, it's lots of things too, where it's like, don't smile at me.
Yeah.
Because if you smile at me, I'll fall in love.
Oh, how dare you make me feel like I love you.
I'll throw you in prison if you bat your eyes at me like that.
I seriously can't take on a relationship right now.
I'm not in a mental place. I'm coming out of a breakup. Casual physical intimacy is all I have the emotional bandwidth for.
So if that's okay with you, then that's fine. But otherwise, don't bat your eyes at me. I will not introduce you to my parents.
If you're looking to meet Elisa and Michael Reno, look somewhere else. Guess my sister.
That was also a crazy trip because it was like a week before everything shut down.
It was right before.
That was wild.
The time, 2019.
2020.
2020. It was like early February, 2020.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we traveled everywhere.
Because the pandemic's March, yeah? Mm-hmm. March 2020. Mm-hmm. Even though COVID had hit us in 2019, we just didn't know it yet.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm thinking. So Brett, remember that? That was pretty cool, huh?
That was pretty cool, yeah.
Oh, to be a road dog. This is an ode to all those road dogs. Hit it, Brett!
Yeah, and I think it's our last ode to all you road dogs out there. We know that life on the road is tough.
Yeah, yeah.
Ow!
Wheels keep on turning, and we go town to town to town. The flight takes off in New Orleans, and in Vegas it's setting. Stop living magic horses?
Nay.
We got Brett Morris on the chorus. That feeling when the chord hits. We got Zach Marsh with the tones both smooth and harsh.
We got you. We got me. We got a magic horse.
We got each other.
And as we say at the end of every episode of Off Book, if you started in Seattle but you end up in Tennessee,
Sounds an awful lot like a magic horse to me.
Stay out of the snow!